Welcome, everybody, back to Veil of Sound. I know this is not the first interview that you see of us in 2024. We're very happy that people like the interview with Aaron Turner so much, and also the one that we published the week after. So for us, for me, this is the first interview of 2024, and it's also one of the first ones in a long while for various reasons. And I'm very, very happy to have someone here on the show who is combining a lot of worlds and whose main hold we're going to talk about today is black metal. So I'm very happy to have Thomas Alker here on the show. Thanks for joining, Thomas.
Thanks for taking me in.
Yeah. First question here on the Veil of Sound is always, what kind of band shirt merch are you wearing today? I see something, but I'm not 100%
sure. Yeah, I can see it here. It's Ill. It means fire. It's a Norwegian black metal band, kind of atmospheric. Something that comes from deep inside of the woods, you know, old feelings, really harsh, cold stuff. With its really own, I think it's a quite new band. It's been around for 3 years or so. And it's something that more people should listen to. They have their third record out now on Vendetta Records.
I just wanted to say, it's like Closer from Vendetta just published the new record, right? So yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah. I haven't gotten around to listen to it yet. So
well, sure.
I have to do some homework to do, and all the people who haven't heard of the band yet, you should also do your homework. For anybody asks, of course, I also wear some black metal, Terje de Horde from Holland. One of my favorite black metal scenes. One of my favorite black metal bands. So, yeah, I think that fits our topic. And before now, everybody still is wondering, Thomas Alker, why is he on the show? Thomas, can you please explain what you did last year, which brought the idea to Knuts and my mind to invite you for an interview?
Well, I guess what I did last year was I worked with an exhibition, a quite big exhibition in Oslo, the capital of Norway, at the National Library. It was an exhibition called Bad Vibes in English, or in Norwegian it's Dårlig Stemning, which is like kind of the odd kind of feeling which makes people uncomfortable, you know. Mm-hmm. And we tried to our way to kind of connect Norwegian black metal, the different emotional aspects of Norwegian black metal, to the Norwegian cultural heritage, if you will, or also kind of the natural domains of Norway, like the forests and the mountains and stuff. But we tried to tell the story of Norwegian black metal in a little bit of a new way, to exhibit some interesting stuff, some great kind of items from Norwegian black metal history, but also to make people open themselves a little bit to this phenomenon, which a lot of people in Norway don't listen to black metal. If they would, they wouldn't like it, you know, which is kind of the whole point of the music in a way. So we tried to kind of help people, like ordinary people. We wanted them to come in, check out what is this thing that people in Norway are proud of, but don't really connect to the average man on the street have heard about Norwegian black metal, but he or she doesn't listen to it much and doesn't understand it, where it comes from, why is it sounding like it is, and all those questions. So we try to do that, and at the same time, kind of cater to the hardcore fans, the people who love Norwegian black metal, for whom it's a very important part of their lives. So we wanted to kind of try to combine those two things.
How difficult was it to combine those two worlds to satisfy
it's always difficult.
The hardcore listener and the guy who doesn't know anything about it?
Yeah, I mean, that's always difficult because their interests are really not like compatible because if you have the like it's the thing about the music and the scene which is kind of reclusive and anti everything, you know. So for many people, some people I guess involved in black metal thinks it's a stupid idea for a national library to take this phenomenon into their house and like make this big splash of an exhibition for something that wants to stay underground. But I think what we did wasn't, you know, we weren't really afraid of trying to go into this emotional angle, because I think that's the way we what we thought was a good way of trying to combine these two uncombinable kind of audience bases, if you want to call it that. So we started to discuss, you know, try to break down black metal. Which are the different kind of feelings or emotions that make up this black metal feeling that a lot of bands and fans search for and talk about, which is like a feeling of everything that's uncomfortable, basically, or you know, it's easy to say something evil or cold or those usual words, but inside of that there's, you know, there's fear and anger and hate and all those dark feelings and kind of dangerous feelings, but there are also a lot of positive things, which mainly is about like the connection between musicians and fans around the world who are kind of part of this big underground network that started a long time ago with all this tape trading and everybody were, you know, pen pals around the globe. We tried to dive into that from different angles, just to find these isolated feelings and then like break down the story we were telling through that. But it's still, if you come back to that question about making something that's working for the people who are hardcore fans and the people who don't know anything about it, I think what we tried to do was just to make people feel something, and if they feel something, they can connect to at least to that feeling in themselves. And that's what I think is a really important thing with black metal, because it's kind of a type of music that you can work with. It's not something that you just listen to. It's something that does something for you. So if you have kind of feelings inside of you that you need help getting out, you know, all kinds of extreme music can work like that. But Norwegian black metal has their own kind of effect in that way, I think.
I'm very sure that when you organized and curated the exhibition, very sure that you also knew that a lot of people who came to visit, maybe by chance or by accident, that one of the feelings that would have been evoked in a lot of them would have been anger, not understanding, disappointment. So negative feelings towards the exhibition because they still don't understand or still didn't understand black metal. So, of course, you were aware of evoking negative feelings towards the genre. Let me guess, it was never your idea to make people understand it all and or turn them into fans, right? That was never the intent.
No. That's up to, you know, that wasn't really our job. We consider our job to be to give them some kind of key to try to start to understand this or try to connect to the music or to the, like the, maybe not only the music, but the stuff that's inside of the music, you know, the stories inside of it, where it comes from. It maybe if it's from like visions of hell or stories of war or the plague or you know, the you can find a lot of the Tolkien stories inside of, you know, classic Norwegian black metal, as well as the forest and the mountains and the cold like nature in Norway. But so there's we try to give them some clues, really. And not to turn them into fans, because that's not going to happen. You know, some people might find something that they, you know, connect to. And if they do that, if one or two people who visited this from there, well, many thousands of people came to the exhibition, and if some of them just, you know, went home and tried to listen to the music in a new way, I think that's a good thing. That's something that, of an accomplishment, because that's really what you, I mean, that's really what you want people to do. You want people to open themselves to whatever kind of art they're exposing themselves to, because there's no use going to a like art exhibition or listening to music if you're not ready to try to take it in and react to it like as a human being. So I think what we tried to do was to give them try to help them try to make them like explain some things a little bit, break down the like instrumentation in the music, the inspirational like caves that Norwegian black metal is mining, you know, and just give them a little bit of an ABC to listen to the music and try to take in what it might be about.
I mean, we both know that there is a lot of black metal which can be very political and outgoing. But for me, one of the cores of black metal has always been some kind of introspective idea. Looking into yourself, trying to get rid of your demons, some kind of catharsis, however you want to call it. Isn't that also already one of the points which makes it difficult to really get it across to the non-initiated, to the people who haven't listened to a lot of black metal, to show them, okay, behind all the harsh noise and everything, there is a lot of introspection going on?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that will always be something that scares people away, because it's that could be a hard thing for someone to do, because a lot of people don't want to like interact with those kinds of feelings or emotions or thoughts, because it might be scary. Because you don't, I mean, if you have something buried deep inside of yourself, you might not want to stir stuff up. But that's exactly when you need it the most, I guess. So I think that, you know, for most people, black metal in general and Norwegian black metal specifically, will never be like something that is really, you know, owned by the public in a way. It's not going to be a mainstream genre. But that is also, you know, it's very much the point of that kind of harsh music. But for, I don't know, for a lot of people, it's the introspective part of it is really the most important thing. For me, it's very important. I mean, it's that's kind of the role it plays when I listen to black metal, because it gives me kind of a free space. You know, it can open doors inside of me that, you know, I can do and think. At least I can think whatever I want. I can process all kinds of thoughts, and it might be anger or happiness or rage or sadness or sorrow, every kind of emotion, really. And I think for many people, that's kind of a problematic thing, because a lot of people who came into the exhibition probably felt a little bit uneasy at times, because there's a lot of, you know, that's the fearlessness of black metal, is to take all these ugly, disgusting, scary, you know, things, and to work with them, to create something from it. And that's really something really important to hold on to. And I think it's a, I think it's very much the core of the genre is to, you know, be open to kind of discuss anything, even though there are, of course, pretty far out parts, you know, of the black metal geography too, that are, you know.
Before we come to those far out parts, which we also have to talk about when we talk about Norwegian black metal, let's make it clear. Would you say that for a lot of good black metal, including Norwegian black metal, some kind of cathartic effect is of utmost importance? Maybe not only, maybe even more for the musicians than for the audience.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's something that's present in all noisy music, I would say. You know, if it's a shoegaze band or a...
Well, I'm not sure about Barbie Girl, but otherwise...
No, but in music that's really... That tries to be noisy, that tries to, like, punish your ears a little bit. I think that's the cathartic element is very important. And you can say in black metal you have the audio, what do you say, the sound part of the harshness and the noisy stuff, the things that you can hear in your ears, and then you have like the lyrical themes that are also really noisy and harsh, and that's, I think, those two in combination, it's I think it's a very, you know, it's a potent mix for expelling your own demons, you know. So I think, yes, I think it's the cathartic element is really important.
When you were
at least
standing,
for me, you know, I don't know for all the.
When you were standing inside the National Library and were probably also looking at people reacting to the exhibition that you laid out, has there ever been a moment when you were surprised by a reaction of a visitor?
Well, yeah, I was, I guess I was, there was a mixture of surprise and relief and happiness, really. The first, when we, because we opened the exhibition just in time for the Inferno Festival, which is a big metal festival every Easter here in Oslo. So there's a lot of people coming in from different parts of the world. And they also put, like, they have this kind of tour bus thing going. So they, one of the stops at the, with the black metal tour bus, they stopped at the exhibition. So there was a lot of people from, you know, a lot of metalheads coming in. And when in the exhibition, the first, when you open the door to the exhibition, the first kind of room of the is a kind of stylized forest, because we want to start in the Norwegian forest, because it's so important for Norwegian bands in the black metal scene. And so we had some, you know, we got the vocalist from Ulver and Darkthrone to read some of their lyrics like it's poetry. And we used some music from classic Norwegian black metal albums and some kind of atmospheric sounds from forests. And together that it really worked really well. So when I first saw how that worked on people, coming into the exhibition and really kind of disarming them, because people were really just relaxed and ready to take in what was coming next, which is kind of the way a lot of instrumental music starts, you know, Norwegian black metal albums, to make the, like, make the listener relax a little bit, be able to take in what's coming. So that's one thing that I, you know, that really kind of struck me, that's something that we hoped for really turned out so well, and a lot of people really, you know, their jaws almost dropped when they came in that room. And that's, I also think it's a really, I mean, one of the most important things we had in the exhibition is in Norway, a lot of the bands recorded their albums in a studio called Grieghallen Studio in Bergen in the western Norway, with a producer called Pytten. And we got Pytten to remix the old studio recordings, the master tapes. And we put that new mix on a kind of table mixer, mixing board, so mm-hmm. people could listen to the different tracks. They can listen to the drums of a Mayhem track and an Enslaved track. Mm-hmm. And seeing people really going into the music, that's really something that I thought was amazing, to see that people who've been going around. I mean, this applies to both hardcore fans who knew the songs by Mayhem or Enslaved, and also people who didn't listen to black metal. They were also like listening to the music in a new way, just only hearing the guitar of Euronymous from Mayhem, for instance, or the guitar playing of Ivar from Enslaved. Or it was just, that was something really nice to see, because it's always great to see people getting into music, like really getting into it. Yeah. And that was people standing there for 10 minutes, they just didn't want to leave. And that's great. There were on the other hand, there was a few people who kind of was a little bit scared, maybe. Mm-hmm. They didn't maybe expect some of the pictures we had some videos from Gorgoroth live performance. Mm-hmm. Which is a lot of blood and naked people on crosses and goats heads and stuff, all the stuff that makes it good. and so some people were, maybe taken aback a little bit by that. But I think most people really, it was so good to see people just, not reacting like, whoa, what's this? This is disgusting. But people seemed interested. And that's something that I couldn't really hope for that to happen, because I didn't know what like the people who were unfamiliar with black metal would react. But I think there was always some kind of interest in the people who were there. And there were lots of, different old couples coming in, young children, there was a lot of people really seemed to be interested in it, which is really cool. Sorry here for talking.
Here at this point, I have to give a shout out to one of the old couples, our writer Knut and his wife, who I know, if I remember correctly, visited the exhibition twice or thrice. So, yeah, got to give a shout out to him. But isn't it interesting that still after decades, for some instances, these songs, these musical parts, are still able to completely engulf people and pull them in. Isn't that also one of the high achievements of the first wave of Norwegian black metal, for example?
Yeah, you could say that. They have obviously struck a chord that is kind of timeless, because the old records, Mayhem are celebrating 40 years this year. And they were of course like the first big Norwegian the first black metal band in the Norwegian the second wave of black metal. So they were something that they did in the like the golden age of Norwegian black metal in the early 90s, when all these first classic Norwegian black metal albums came out. There's something there that still evokes that feeling that connects so hard with, or that people connect so hard with. And that's in Norwegian culture, I don't think there's anything you can compare with that. Maybe the music of Edvard Grieg, one of the most famous classical composers from Norway. But it's like the paintings of Edvard Munch. The the painter from who has he has a big old museum in Norway. And but it, yeah, exactly. The scream. And then
did you know that there are hundreds of variations of a scream done by Munch himself? I didn't know that. That he did a lot of variations of that scream.
Yeah, there's lots of different. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There's several ones, but it's yeah. I mean, Norwegian. It's really amazing that so many people still, you know, they look up the old records. They still hold them really dearly, and I mean, young fans from around the globe connect to them as hard and as tight as fans did in the old days.
Yeah.
It's it's quite an achievement, I would say.
Yeah, the only other musical stronghold from Norway from the last, let's say, 30, 40 years that is still around and still making a lot of music and still good, to me, is Motorcycle. But then I would already have to think about old bands. You've already mentioned, you know, the cultural impact, as you said, like, okay, we have Grieg, we might have Motorcycle. And you've also mentioned that not a lot of Norwegians listen to black metal, which is, of course, totally clear. I mean, like, even though Holland has a great black metal scene and an important black metal scene, I would estimate the number of Dutch people listening to black metal to be way below 1%. However, it is interesting that when you talk to people from all over the world about Norwegian music, one of the first things that you will hear is very, very automatically black metal. So it seems as if black metal has been ingrained into the image of Norwegian culture. Would you say that it is both ingrained in the image of Norwegian culture and that also Norwegian culture is ingrained into Norwegian black metal so much so that it's like a two-sided sword?
I think today you can say that. Definitely Norwegian culture is really, really important to Norwegian black metal because it's all where it comes from. You know, it's from the old stories of the stories of the forests and the goblins and trolls and the plague in the 1349 came to Bergen, and you can find a lot of that in Norwegian black metal. And now, after 30 years since like the biggest bands came out with their first records, I think time has passed, and all of the chaos that surrounded black metal in the early 90s with the church burnings and the killings, stuff that made Norwegian black metal, you know, really something that the rest of society didn't want it around. They wanted to kind of bury it 6 feet under. So it took some years for Norwegian black metal to actually become that part of Norwegian culture today. But today, I would say it's... I don't think we could have made this exhibition 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think... I worked at the the Norwegian Broadcasting Corporation, NRK. Mm-hmm. I used to work there, and I was a co-director together with Håvard Bråten on a black metal documentary called Helvete, the story of Norwegian black metal. And we did that in 2020, and I don't think we could have made that 10 years earlier either. It's, you know, something about time passing. People still working with the music, still taking all that deadly serious, and you know, people being able to see the music, the culture output in its own right, instead of always discussing the church burnings or the really sad and terrible stuff that happened in the 90s. First, so I think today I would definitely say that Norwegian black metal is a is an important part of like the cultural heritage of Norway now. So it's that's nice because I think it's nice. Maybe some of the bands maybe don't, but that's something, you know, Norwegian black metal bands can take classic Norwegian culture, like the stories of and illustrations of Theodor Kittelsen, but he's like drawing all these fantastic creatures from fantasy and from the forest. Take that, and I mentioned the plague earlier. All these kind of really important things from Norwegian. It's kind of ingrained in the Norwegian soul, basically. Mm-hmm. And they take that, they do something new with it, and this new thing becomes a new part of Norwegian cultural heritage. I think it's a great thing of, you know, seeing that circle coming all the way around.
That is definitely something that Norwegian black metal did very, very well, and that it also brought as a new element to the game, right? To have like this folklore aspect. That is definitely true when we come to themes. Is there something where you say, okay, that was firstly done in Norwegian black metal before it was done anywhere else musically?
Well, that's what can you say about that? I think maybe that's something that, you know, maybe Fenris of Darkstone should answer that question. But
give me his number. I'll gladly ask him.
You know, they were trying.
Fenris, if you listen to this one, we're always open for a talk.
That's good.
That would actually be a fanboy's dream come true.
The bands, they wanted. Oh, yeah. I have tried to talk to him for like 5 years, but hasn't happened yet. But anyway, of course, there's a lot of like new ground being covered from the Norwegian bands, even though they were taking a lot of the first wave of black metal from the early 80s with Merciful Fate and Hellhammer, Celtic Frost and Bathory and those bands, for instance.
Don't forget Venom.
But no, of course Venom. There are so many different types of Norwegian black metal today, and really there it only took like 5 or 10 years to make all these different types of Norwegian black metal. And you have like Enslaved, who I don't think they really call themselves a black metal band, but many people regard them as one. They're a part of that whole scene anyway. And they have this Norse culture and Viking stuff that they have been doing all the way, which is a really, really strong Norwegian heritage thing. I mean, even before Norway became Norway, and on the other side you have Darkthrone, who play kind of, they're like kind of Ramones, early Ramones, black metal band,
very punkish,
you know, no nonsense, and then you have Ulver, the earlier, like the first version of Ulver, who were doing the trolley things with the kind of fairy tale vibe to it. And, you know, and you have the biggest band today, I guess, would be Dimmu Borgir, who are, I mean, they published their first record in 95, I think. And they were always, you know, into this today. They're such, you know, they're a huge band, both with a fan base and musically, but they have all, you know, there are all these different kinds of black metal, taking stuff from different parts of both the musical heritage and the kind of Norwegian soil. So I think that is one of the things that Norwegian black metal has been, where they have been groundbreaking, is because they've been taking something that's not music, and they turned it into music, which is, I mean, you can do that in any type of musical genre, but they have combined these this kind of heavy metal historical music and combined it with the with kind of philosophical nature stuff, and you know all these with the Viking culture stuff for enslaved and different stuff that's you know that together makes up a really big whole that that I would say is something that's you know quite amazing.
You've already hinted at it, and we have to talk about that. That is like the very early 90s to mid 90s in Norway when there happened a lot of things, church burnings, homicides. When a lot of these things happened that, how should I say, that also gave Norwegian black metal a very, very bad reputation, a bad rap.
Yeah.
At the same time, I know of several of my friends for whom that was especially appealing. So would you say that that was also, again, something which brought even more attention to Norwegian black metal?
Definitely, yes. And I know that this is a very unpopular thing to talk about for many black metal bands. And it's really hard to get people to say something substantial about this, because you know some of the bands are really tired of talking about it. They're tired of their music getting like stained from this that they weren't really a part of, because it was, after all, it was a really kind of small group of people doing all the bad stuff. But anyway. It's really, I mean, you cannot separate Norwegian black metal as a genre and the popularity it has and the status it has inside of heavy metal. You can't take that and, you know, that's not, it's something that's really combined with these like terrible acts and terrible stuff that happened. And if, I mean, in my view, you can't separate those things. You can't. I mean, it's just it wouldn't be true to say that. Oh no, Norwegian black metal would be the same without that. I don't think it would be the same without all the stuff that happened. At least it wouldn't be the same status-wise. It wouldn't be the same because Norwegian black metal is widely considered as the most evil kind of black metal. You know, in a way, if you set the crazy Nazis aside, I mean, that's a different thing.
And then the Norwegians also have their own Hitler.
Oh yeah. There's a special someone there. But the
artist formerly known as Christian.
Yes. And I think it's you know, it's one thing is for fans that, you know, that these people were doing what they were talking about. They were not afraid of, you know, violence or murder kind of violating churches and burning them down and stuff. That's one thing that was very appealing to fans, and it's made Norwegian black metal get that kind of status as the most evil kind of metal, you know, which is easy to make fun of as well, and a lot of people do that. But the other thing is that when black metal first came up from the underground in Norway, it was because of those acts. It was because the front pages of the papers weekly for kind of 2 years, in 1992 when the first church was burnt down and the first murder occurred in Lillehammer. I think, you know, that was something that really was scary for many Norwegian people, because they didn't know about the music. They only knew that there were Satanists running around with knives ready to kill you, you know. People were really afraid. And that's why I think it's when they understood that there was a music scene connected to what was happening. That was something that, you know, automatically made people what do you say, negative towards that music. And still that's something that's still there today. I mean, if you say Norwegian black metal in Norway to some random person on the street, they would probably think of, oh yeah, there was something about church burnings and something, mm-hmm. So it's definitely part of the story. And you know, people are, there's, you know, the last couple of years, it's on Facebook, for instance, you can't talk about certain bands without getting banned, or you can, your account can be closed if you post certain bands and talk about bands. But we couldn't do this. We couldn't do the exhibition without mentioning these things. Yeah. And without including some of these bands, if I don't know if it's something that I can say.
You can say anything on
here. Yeah, great, great, because that's good. It's but of course I'm talking about Bursum, it's what Varg Vikernes or Christian Vikernes did with the music. It's undeniably something that's important to the genre. Yeah. And some of the music he did is still sounding really good. It's something that's, you know, a lot of people can, you know, you can it's a classic thing where you can see the art as something different from the artist. It's, yeah. That discussion can go on forever. But if you talk about trying to describe the sounds and the lyrical themes and the look of Norwegian black metal without including Bursum or Vikernes, that would be really I think that would be wrong, as well as talking about Norwegian black metal scene as a whole without mentioning the bad stuff that happened, even though a lot of people are, you know, bands and artists that are tired of talking about it, they think it's you know, unimportant. But if, as a curator and working with the exhibition, or doing the documentary at the NRK, it, you know, it has to be touched upon somehow.
Definitely.
Because it's, yeah, I think people who say that Norwegian black metal would be the same without that, I disagree with that opinion, I would say.
It would definitely not be the same. That is totally clear to me. And for everybody who now wants to call me out again, everybody who knows me knows that I'm so far on the left side, you know, whatever. But unfortunately, and I really want to emphasize the word unfortunately here. Unfortunately, the first few Bursum albums are untouchable.
Yeah, they're great.
Whether I like it or not, but when I look at that genre, which I love so dearly, the impact is undeniable. And also to make it clear for everybody, I cannot separate the art from the artist. So I have no Bursum albums. I have one here, but I've given to a friend of mine. But otherwise, you know, as with a lot of things, you know, that is not possible for me. One thing that we should also mention at this point, when we talk about Bursum, you should definitely talk about two parts. First of all, yes, right wing, you know, very anti-Semite, very right wing, national socialist, however you want to call that. Yeah. Second of all, anti-Catholicism. The second one, anti-Catholicism, is still a big part in black metal in general, and also for a lot of Norwegian black metal bands, you know, anti-Catholicism, also
all kinds of Christianity, really.
The first one, National Socialist black metal, is, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, but when it comes to that, then the Norwegian scene is much cleaner than, for example, the Polish scene, the Finns. So, you know, a National Socialist black metal is not a big thing in Norway.
No.
Which is
not.
Very, very interesting. And that is also something that people should remember.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And a lot of people, you know, there's obviously there's a lot of people who think that Norwegian black metal is kind of a national socialistic musical genre, which is not true. There, as you said, Norwegian. There are. I don't even know if I know any like NSBM bands from Norway, Nazi black metal bands, because you know it's a good thing with Norway. It's kind of hard being a Nazi in Norway.
Yeah.
I don't know that from a first hand perspective, but because of you know, since I'm Swedish from now I'm both Swedish and Norwegian, but I was born in Sweden, grew up in Sweden, and there's a lot of different you know, the attitude towards National Socialism is very different in Sweden and Norway, because Sweden was neutral during the Second World War, and nobody really cared about like discussing what happened there. In Norway, it's totally different. They were occupied, it's been a kind of a different journey, so to speak. So there was a bigger neo-Nazi movement in Sweden than it was here in Norway.
Yep.
It was quite tiny in Norway, actually. In Sweden, it was big, there were lots of Nazi punk bands in Sweden, as far as I know, not many Nazi punk bands in Norway. And I think it's very different, you know, if you look at like Eastern European bands like Central Europe, there are, I guess that's where you can find the Nazi black metal bands, really.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I don't know Nazi bands.
I know, I just looked it up. There has been some controversy around Tarke from, I think, Bergen.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, but that's I think that's something for Örjan in Tarke to talk about. But I think something that's really, that was a provocation, I would say. A friend of mine
I call it controversy, right? It's very difficult to take a stance on that one. I mean, like, he went on stage with swastika. Okay, I can see that maybe as a part of provocation, but then again, calling the owner of Turok in Essen, with one of those Nazi words, like Untermenschen. But again, it's controversy, you know. It's definitely much less clearer than with Bursum. We've already mentioned the church burnings for homicides, and you've spoken about the level of acceptance that black metal now has in Norway. It's interesting, when I thought about this when I did my preparations for this interview, one of the things that automatically came to my mind were those two movies that were done like 8-9 years ago, that documentary, and I forgot the name of it. Isn't it Until the Darkness Catches Us or something like that?
Until the Light Takes Us, I guess it is.
Until the Light Takes Us. And the other one is, of course, that Hollywood movie Lords of Chaos with one of the Culkin brothers. Playing Euronymous. Both have very different approaches. And we'll also talk about those for a short moment. But first off, do you think that also played a role in the growing acceptance of black metal within Norwegian society?
I think Until the Light Takes Us was kind of underground.
Yes.
A documentary, and I think that's something that, you know, music fans might have seen it, and black metal fans probably have seen it. Lords of Chaos, though, it was a bigger thing. Even I thought it would be a bigger hit than it was, because I it wasn't my favorite take on the story, and I think the movie was kind of missed some opportunities. It was more of a bubblegum kind of splatter movie than it could be, you know, a seriously emotionally kind of gut-wrenching story, because that's the way I see that story, as a really sad story and not, not as a cool story. But I didn't, you know, yeah, I think, you know, there was a lot of writings in the press when the movie came out, because it was in Norway. It's always like that. If someone outside of Norway talks about Norway, that's news, you know, that's
so we are news like, now.
Yeah, you never know. But it was, you know, there was Metallica did this video with the, like the Mayhem kind of what do you say? The they were kind of evoking the Mayhem look, and I think it's yeah, it, of course, yeah, it did put Norwegian black metal history out there to more people.
Yeah,
I think, but. It wasn't like the biggest movie of the year in Norway, so I guess probably mostly music fans went to see it. I guess I'm not really sure about the numbers there, but if the movie would have been a bigger hit, then you know, things would maybe have been a bit different. But but I know there was a lot of. A lot of people in the Norwegian scene weren't too happy about that movie. They weren't happy about it being made in the first place, and they thought it was a really, you know, it told the story in a way that they couldn't relate to. But I guess it's really different to see if you're a part of that early story of Norwegian black metal. It's probably quite hard to see it portrayed in that manner.
What I didn't like about Lords of Chaos was the nearly comical approach they took to the story. I mean, there were unfortunately many moments in the movie when I really had to laugh, and I then thought to myself, is that really necessary? I think they turned it into more of a drama comedy than a real tragedy, which in my opinion it is. I have two more questions before we come to our infamous quickfire round. First off, you've mentioned, you know, the importance of the forests for Norwegian black metal, and you know, for all of us, we cannot deny the fact that a lot of Norwegian bands still love to wear corpse paint. Do you think that is something, if you want to make true Norwegian black metal, that you still have to do that?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the touring bands, I think they feel like it's still I think if you wear corpse paint, I guess it's something that then it's something that you do because it allows you to get into character in a way that feels true to you. But because I mean, a lot of the Norwegian bands that are out touring the world, they still use that, even though you have. Like Mayhem, they have been always, the whole band never used corpse paint in the old days. And still today, it's just the vocalist doing it, Attila. And then you have bands where all of the people on stage are wearing corpse paint. But I think it's, I mean, I think there, I know that like for, I talked to, when we're doing the exhibition, I talked to Thomas Haugen or Samot from Emperor. And they used to wear corpse paint in the early days, but they just felt, you know, the most important thing for them has always been, you know, being true to your own self, to the music that you play. And for them now, being around 50 years old, doing the same thing they did when they were 20, that didn't feel right. So when Emperor has been touring the world the last couple of years, they don't use any corpse paint. They could be mistaken for a death metal band, which would be terrible. But they are, you know, they can just do what they feel like. So I think I really think that if you want to go on stage without the corpse paint, still say you're playing Norwegian black metal, a true Norwegian black metal, I guess you can do that. It's a free country. but to many of the fans, I think it's still something that evokes that feeling, which that makeup adds something good to. So you know, it's all, I mean, it always looks cool if, with like the sweaty kind of dirty corpse paint. I think it could look really really well on stage. So you know, I mean, I guess it's something that makes people being able to perform their stuff 110%. It's something that makes them, you know, able to get out of themselves a little bit and into that person that they want to be when they play their music. So it's, I mean, back in the, if you were running around in the forest around Bergen in 1990, you probably could meet someone in a cloak, you know, with a big axe or something, playing some role-playing game with their friends, like appearing as orcs or, you know, some dangerous medieval creature. It's the same kind of thing, you know. You can climb into another being within yourself, sort of. And I guess that's if that works for the person going on stage, I think it could be a really good thing. But if, I mean, I guess you can do whatever you want if you please.
Indirectly, you've already hinted at it, because that was one of the questions that I also had in my mind. Is, in a way, a black metal concert even more of a theatrical performance than a regular heavy metal concert, in your opinion? Or can it be?
Yes, yeah, I think so. Yes, yeah. The theatrical aspect is something that can be really important. Both like the setting of the stage could be could be something that adds a lot to the kind of experience, making something more immersive in a way. I went to see the Swedish band Watain. They had this 25
year also have some controversies
celebration. Of course they have. Yes. They were playing in their Swedish band, but they're really indebted to the Norwegian classical black metal scene, and they're kind of you know, friends with all the bands, and they play regularly in Norway. But they went to Uppsala, which is the hometown of Watain, or at least part of the band, and it was the most fiery show I have seen in my life. I think they had so many fires going on stage, and you know, they were just they were like lighting up new fires around the stage during that 2-hour concert, and it's a lot of theatricals, you know, speeches to the audience, and you know, walking around doing it's almost like a miniature ghost show. Where, you know, the band Ghost, which is not a black metal band, of course, even a lot of people won't say it's even a metal band. But for us who love Ghost, it's always nice to see like them put on a great show, and a show that's really choreographed into details. You know, everything is on cue everywhere. But Watain were doing something of the same thing with, you know, changing instruments, walking around the stage, standing here and there, and lighting all these fires, putting out the fires with their hands, doing a lot of cool stuff. But then you have, I mean, then you have a band like the Norwegian band Djevel, which they usually play really really dark gigs. They have maybe what's that called? You know, they have candles. Yeah, just candlelight on stage, or some really small lightings. That's, you know, that's a more like standing still kind of a more shoegazy approach, where you can like just, you know, you just stand there and you play it. And I think both of those things are, you know, they're theatrical in their own way.
Yeah.
Because there's, I don't think a like regular Norwegian black metal band would go on stage and just, you know, in a pair of jeans and a white t-shirt, playing their songs in full lightning, you know. That wouldn't, it wouldn't, I mean, a Norwegian black metal band wouldn't look like Talking Heads playing, which is, you know, just ordinary people kind of looking like ordinary people, like all white light on the stage. But
or Panopticon, if we want to stay in the realms of black
so
metal.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it's the theatrical part of it is something that it adds something to the experience. It adds something to the people coming in the audience, and you know, I really like when you get this immersive feeling, when you feel like you're in a special universe. You are it's happening there and then. You're surrounded by this vibe. And that's something that I like, which is, you know, I really appreciate a good like punk rock concert as well, with where there's no frills, no, you know, people just playing their music. But often the feeling, the emotions that black metal creates are so important. That's why I think it's important to like indulge yourself into the whole experience, and that's where the theatrics come in.
Last question before we come to the final part of this interview, as always, Thomas, very quickly, your first encounter with black metal in general or Norwegian black metal, what was it? First record, first contact, what was that for you?
The first contact was when I was in high school. This was in 1992, I guess 92. And a friend of mine who was still is a huge heavy metal fan. I wasn't into heavy metal that much. I listened to like the normal kind of heavy metal bands like Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Metallica, all that, the 80s stuff. But he had his Walkman, and he actually had a tape with Burzum. So, and he played it to me. He was standing by, you know, we were in the hallway of the high school. And he's just, Thomas, you need to listen to this. And he took up his Walkman with a cassette in it. And I put in the earplugs and he pressed play. And it just, you know, and it just, while I was listening, he was screaming to me while I was listening. Went, you know, listen to it. He screamed, it sounds like a pig. He screams like a pig. He's crazy. And that was like, that's my first encounter with Norwegian black metal, which is, I don't remember which record it was with Burzum, but it was a Burzum track. I can't remember the song either, but it was at that point it was far too extreme for me. So it took me several years to really, you know, coming to a point where I could say I really love some of the music. You know, I don't love every part of or every type of Norwegian black metal, but it's an acquired taste in a way. It takes some time to dig your way into that.
Yeah.
But anyway, Buddhism was my first encounter. Yeah.
What is now your favorite black metal band?
Well, I would say Ill, from for new bands. I would say Ill. Ill is fantastic, great lyrics, in lyrics that are, you know, in Norwegian. It's something else, I would say. But of the classic bands, I really like Ulver. Old Ulver, I love the new Ulver as well, even though that's kind of, you know, it's a Norwegian Depeche Mode now. Which I love as well. I think you can always come back to De Mysteris Dom Satanas by Mayhem. I think, you know, some of the first kind of, what you could say, you could take Panzerfaust by Dark Throne. It's almost 30 years ago now, but and I really like Tåke as well. Noregs Vapen, which is a great album from 2011, I think. But I would say if I the first Ulver record, Bergtatt, that was the first record that really, you know, that I really could, you know, really could dive into, because I was much more of a shoegaze fan in the early 90s. And I came from kind of a more mainstream and post-punk kind of area, going into the extreme metal. So for me, that was a... I think Bergtatt by Ulver is a great record for many reasons, but it's the vibe, it's got nice vocals, it has the kind of a bit eerie and feel, and still, you know, airy and eerie at the same time, guitar playing, and some of the stuff that I really, really, really enjoy still.
Thomas, thanks for all the insight, for all the details, for the well-versed opinions, which I always like. But I do not leave you without having to go through the infamous quickfire round. So, as everybody knows, you always get two alternatives, have to choose, and give a short explanation for your choice. Of course, as we talked a lot about Norwegian black metal, you will also get a lot of connections to Norway, Norwegian black metal. Let's start off with a few bands. Satyricon versus Gorgoroth.
Gorgoroth.
Why?
I think that they're a good example of people not being afraid of touching anything, you know. And I think for me, the dirtiness of Gorgoroth is more appealing than the kind of dirtiness that Satyricon is doing. So I would say Gorgoroth. Yeah.
Two bands or projects closely related. We've also mentioned them a few times already. Bursum versus Mayhem. And let's just stick to the music, because otherwise it's too easy of a choice.
That's a hard one.
I never said those would be easy.
I think I have. I listen to. There are more Bursum albums that I listen to than Mayhem albums, actually. But I would say because. It's hard. I would say Bursum for the atmospherical stuff on Philosophem.
Enslaved versus Dark Throne.
That's hard too. It's really hard. Enslaved are amazing, and Dark Throne are amazing too. I would go for Dark Throne. For the punkishness and straightforward playing.
That is a very good connection to my next couple, both from Norway, both not black metal, but I know that both bands loved and love black metal. Turbo Negro versus Kvelertak.
I would have to go for Turbo Negro. I've been a fan for many years, and Kvelertak is great too, but no, Turbo for me.
Black metal has a lot of different shades. Sometimes they're very, very hard to distinguish. I always love how people are unclear about terms. For example, the difference between post-black metal and atmospheric black metal. I'll make it easy for you. I chose one example for both sides. For post-black metal, Agaloch from the States, and we've been talking about Vendetta. I've mentioned atmospheric black metal. There is only one German black metal band that everybody out there who loves black metal should have. Ulfa from Cologne. So Agaloch versus Ulfa.
Unfortunately, I haven't heard Ulfa, I think. Which is probably something I have to take care about, you know?
So then you have to choose
Agaloch,
huh?
Yeah, I have to. But now I know what I need to do tonight.
Everybody who's out there and who hasn't, I mean, like, I've been praying this band since forever. If you want to spend somewhere around 70 minutes, 75, something like that, listen to Ulfa's last complete full length, All That Has Never Been. It doesn't get any more Pink Floydish and atmospheric in black metal than that. Two projects that personal staff-wise are closely connected to Norwegian black metal are Vardruna and Hyksja, the collaboration between Ivar and Einar. If you had to choose between Vardruna and Hyksja, which one would it be?
Both really, really great. And I think I would go for Hugshaw, because Hugshaw is it's a little bit more. I mean, it's got some. Of course, that when you have Ivar into the mix, there it's another kind of melodic themes that come in, and I love the Vardruna. Stuff. Einar Selvik is a genius, but I think I would go for Hugshaw. I've seen them once, and it was really great. So I go for Hugshaw.
Yeah. I've also seen them once at Roadburn, and it was mind blowing. We've already mentioned the psychological effect that black metal can have, and I think. It can have two kinds of effects. It can either be a kind of cathartic outlet so that people can get rid of their demons. And it can be a musical embodiment of your own denial. What would you prefer a band to do on stage? Go into themselves and deny their problems, or scream them out and blast it all out? At this very moment, not in general, let's say right now, what would you rather have, catharsis or denial?
Yeah. Catharsis, 8 days a week. No doubt about it.
And last one, and I took this one because to me, the guy just simply embodies everything that I like about Norwegian black metal and black metal and openness in general. Ulver, I'll give you two records. Which one would you right now rather listen to, Kvelds-Sanger or Assassination of Julius Caesar?
Assassination of Julius Caesar. It's I love that record. It's it's really, you know, dark pop music.
Yeah.
At its best, I think it's fantastic.
It is. It definitely is, and it shows a musician who is so far ahead of his genre and everything else that it's unbelievable that this is the same project. But if you listen to it in a chronological way, you will see, okay, there is a way from A to B. And that is definitely something that I think he has done better than anybody else in black metal. Thomas, thank you for all your time.
The thing with the
You go ahead.
No, just thinking about Christopher Rygg from Ulver. He's someone who has been. You know, a lot of people they're going their own way, doing whatever they want to, taking their music in different directions. But there's a lot of people who really can't seem to let go of some of the stuff that, you know, in the way that he has done. I mean, he still has the love for the old black metal stuff, but just feeling the need to do something else is a great thing. And I really love that people listen to and create music styles that are really different from where they came from. And I think it's something for every kind of listener and musician to let themselves be inspired by. It's the way that he can, you know, search for new sounds and don't be afraid to do something that other people would call you know, un-metal-ish or whatever. It still has the most important thing. It has the vibe, the feeling of music when it's, you know, takes the deep feeling seriously, and it just does it in a great way in a genre that a lot more people can stand listening to, which is also good, you know.
Yeah, for everybody who still doesn't think that Christian Rück is always doing black metal, I have one thought for all of you out there. Black metal, and also especially true Norwegian black metal, always wanted to annoy people. So how much more black metal-ish can it be if you make music that annoys the people that originally rooted for you, the black metal guys?
True.
Thomas, thanks for all your time. Thanks for all the insight. And I hope you liked this one as much as I do. For everybody out there who likes what we do and likes our interviews, we're very, very thankful for your support. If you have any questions that we should have asked Thomas, feel free to send them or to write them down here underneath our video. Maybe Thomas can have an answer for that. Otherwise, if you like what we do, maybe give us a subscription here on YouTube or a like on our socials. You can also support us via Patreon and in other ways as well. In general, thanks for listening. And Thomas, now is your chance for final last words.
Well, I would say listen to music that makes you feel a bit uncomfortable and see what it does to you.
Very good. Thomas, thanks for all your time. Enjoy the rest of your day and evening.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Bye-bye.